Our first presentation is going to be a dual presentation. I'm told we're going to be hearing from two of the presenters working on the study, Dr. Kelly Milsdick and Jesse Mia Hull, is that right? Collaborated as a faculty-student research team while both were at Skidmore College. A Bachelor's of Social Work graduate of Skidmore, Jesse works as a toddler teacher in Brighton, Massachusetts. She is currently pursuing her Master's in Education and Licensure in Special Education and plans on pursuing a Master's in Social Work with complementary specialization. Dr. Milsdick's research and practice experience are in the field of gerontological social work, and she recently defended her dissertation, Voices from the Street, exploring how older adults and outreach workers define and mitigate problems associated with urban elder homelessness. She has taught social work at Skidmore College, Boston University, and the University of Hawaii, Manoa.
Okay, welcome. This presentation will discuss the essential role of partnership and community through the case study of a student faculty team engaged in collaborative research in upstate New York, not surprisingly Saratoga Springs, where Skidmore College is located, to inform the development of their community affordable housing plan. The goals of our project were, one, to improve the understanding of homelessness at the local level, two, to contribute to community planning efforts to end homelessness, and three, to enrich public health social work skills. We're going to discuss the various ways in which collaboration is cultivated and infused throughout the life of a project, share some of the key findings from our study, and reflect on some of the benefits and challenges of collaboration. Let's see. First, the collaborative research process. A couple of background pieces about what informed our process. Although surely an education in public health social work includes extensive instruction and dialogue on the importance of empowerment, the identification of strengths, and collaboration with individuals, families, and systems, it is unclear to what extent these values are modeled by social work faculty in the classroom. So while the Council on Social Work Education provides curriculum requirements for accreditation, there's little concentration on teaching methods and practice. So given the philosophies of teaching and learning, it would seem of great importance for social work educators to engage in a teaching philosophy aligned with the mission and values of social work. One of the pieces that Jesse Mia, as a dual social work and education student, and myself as an educator shared was our teaching philosophy and pedagogy, which we believe helped inform our project. Social work education has the benefit of a well-established model of incorporating service-based learning and practical field experience. Service learning and field work are essential components of public health social work education. However, instructors must not lose sight of their responsibility to teach collaboration and to create opportunities for students to translate this theory into practice. I think too often that's left to the field experience and field instructors and not necessarily modeled or practiced in the classroom. At the core of translating social work practice and education is the incorporation of empowerment theory, utilization of a strengths-based perspective, appreciation for diverse experiences and contributions, and the creation of an environment of respect, responsibility, and reflection. So faculty-student collaborative research is a mechanism to develop and share theory and practice skills where each partner is a teacher, learner, and contributor. So we really entered into this endeavor as partners. In terms of cultivating the collaboration, we entered into it with shared interests, established relationships, and institutional support. And I want to talk a little bit about all three of those. With our shared interest in the educational philosophy, we were able to discuss the nature of the collaboration right from the beginning and how this would be reflected in our cooperative learning and teaching. My pedagogical approach is of a transformative, liberatory nature, demonstrated by shared responsibility and reciprocity, and ongoing efforts for integration and participation. Fundamental to such pedagogy are the processes of communication and cooperation. So we made efforts to communicate regularly and make sure that we were cooperating on all efforts of the project. In this case, we had an established relationship as teacher-student, advisor, advisee, so we're entering into the project with a history, which is certainly relevant. We also had an existing relationship with the agency that was essentially our doorway into collecting data for the project. it was an existing field placement for our social work program, so we had that established relationship. The other big important piece is the institutional support of the Skidmore College Faculty Student Research Program. This is a summer program that has been at Skidmore for 20 years. It provides a travel stipend, or a stipend for the summer, housing, and a travel stipend for conferences should students be able to present. So there's a lot of institutional support which certainly helped to make this possible. So the combination of our resources as a team, the institutional resources, and the investment of the community group helped to make this possible. Briefly, there were really three methods of collaboration that were happening. There was the collaboration between Jesse and I and our collaborative roles. We've done two presentations and two publications where we share primary authorship of those. There's also the team and college collaboration, so we collaborated within the college in terms of presentations and meetings. Jesse had an opportunity to present to the president of the college and to alumni, and we also, of course, had the college community collaboration. We participated in community planning initiatives, and simultaneously, while this project was happening, Jesse was volunteering at the local homeless shelter. So there were multiple ways in which the collaboration was happening. I'm going to turn it over to Jesse, and she's going to talk about the research project.
Hi there. We took a very ambitious project over the summer of 2008, which involved three main components: a comprehensive review of the homelessness literature, an exploratory study of homelessness in the local community, and collaboration with community agencies and service providers. So the literature review is a truly collaborative process. We shared equal responsibility for reading literature and the synthesis and writing of the review itself. Kelly focused on a history of homelessness portion, and I focused on a planning to end and prevent homelessness section. By truly collaborating on the review, we found that it enabled us to devise and implement the research study in a much more informed and effective manner. Some findings that informed our exploratory study included that homelessness assistance to date has only managed the problem of homelessness. Recent literature suggests homelessness has been revisited as a social problem, and there are these new initiatives which are being explored to end and prevent homelessness, specifically 10-year plans to end homelessness, which locally address the needs of the national problem and aligns federal and local incentives. Particularly, we learned that in order to create one of these 10-year plans, we really needed a strong base of local research data about the population that we're dealing with. So we each had primary responsibilities, which through the faculty student research program we were participating in, we had clearly established from the beginning. I had primary responsibility on several tasks to align my student learning objectives with the collaborative study, in particular to develop my research skills in social science. And Kelly had primary faculty responsibilities, which included training me in data analysis and becoming a sort of advisor and liaison through different networks so that we could all work together and she could talk to the people I was working with and I could talk through her to people she was working with. Together we reviewed procedures and finding, and we did different methods of data analysis, including a thematic analysis of the qualitative data, which we'll go through later on. Together we came to the conclusion that our ultimate goal was to gather information which could inform planning initiatives in the community, and in particular we decided that we wanted to understand further what services are being provided to homeless persons in Saratoga County, who is providing them, and how these services are being utilized, whether there are unmet needs or barriers that need to be looked at further. So we found this national survey of homeless assistance providers and clients, and we adapted it to use in our study. The survey we handed out included basic program information of different service providers, homeless assistance programs at their sites, service providers' views of perceived client need for 59 distinct services. Open-ended questions to determine service providers' views of what is essential to end and prevent homelessness. And then for housing programs, we had additional little survey for them to fill out, which gave in-depth information about their housing programs. So the sample was established through snowball and proposes sampling. We identified service providers. Service providers offer at least one program to assist homeless individuals in Saratoga County, and we found 21 service providers in the county. Then we further contacted each of these service providers by telephone to figure out how many programs they offered, and one survey was mailed for each homeless assistance program that was offered. So from the 21 providers, we ended up sending out 55 surveys. Many service providers or agencies completed more than one survey, and by the end of our time frame, which was quite short, we had 23 programs represented with 23 surveys completed. So we were able to perform descriptive analysis due to the small sample size, and we focused primarily on what needs were identified as being met, we focused on identifying services who are perceived to be needed most of the time or all of the time. And these services were determined as greatest need services, which are listed in the table there. Out of the greatest need services that we identified, we further noticed that housing services and case management services were well represented in this top table of services. And then we wanted to see out of those services which ones were less likely to be met. So we created a less likely met percentage based on the provider's views of whether these needs were being met seldom or sometimes. And those are bolded. So you can see money management and budgeting was a highly needed service, but it was also only, it was less likely to be met according to service providers' views. For the qualitative data analysis, we performed thematic analysis, and we found that our inter-rater reliability was very good. We analyzed them separately and then together joined together to see what differences we had, and we had very few differences. We basically counted keywords and categories, and we found that housing services, housing and case management services were highly noted, as were education and awareness for the community in the prevention question to indicate what strategies they felt were essential to preventing homelessness in the area. Basically, we found that there was an emphasis on infrastructure, and we felt that this was important to bring to the community planning initiatives in the area. We offered findings that included an emphasis on these infrastructural needs, but we really focused the emphasis that there were 98% of the homeless services recognized as needing some, as having some level of need. We also identified potential barriers for these housing planning initiatives, including that only half of the programs provided transportation, and there were extremely limited housing programs available. The idea is that this information could be a starting point for further research to take place to contribute to 10-year community plan to end homelessness.
So I'm going to talk a little bit about some of the benefits and the challenges of our collaboration. Obviously, one of the benefits is skill development and goal attainment. So this gave myself an opportunity to develop my skills in terms of collaborative research and as an instructor, and it gave Jessie a chance to really do some more work in terms of her research skills and honing them beyond our standard research methods courses. In terms of goal attainment, as a student-faculty collaboration, we felt that we attained our goals. It's a little bit of a different story when we talk about the goals of what the community tenure planning process was, because their goals were actually not very clearly defined, which I'm going to talk about on my next slide because that's more of a challenge. Capacity building and networking was definitely a benefit. So this was an opportunity, again, for us to do some capacity building, but these relationships within the school, it opened up a lot of doors. There are 20 to 30 faculty-student teams that are doing different research projects, and we would come together at 3 points over the course of the summer. So there was a lot of networking happening across campus, and then the opportunity for us to do networking within the community. Some of the challenges in terms of roles and boundaries. We were pretty clear about what our roles were, and that was a benefit. The community was a little less clear about what our roles were, as well as what their goals were. One of the pieces that was complicated our project was we are in a community that is fairly wealthy, and there was a lot of resistance to actually even using the term homelessness. We didn't want to call it a tenure plan to end homelessness. It would be called a tenure housing plan. So we could kind of talk about housing, but it wasn't so comfortable to talk about homelessness. So it was definitely a challenge. And also, they had, I think, a little bit more of an expectation than was articulated about what our role was. So we were doing a summer research project, but they kept putting us on the agenda as the tenure plan. So it was as if we were going to be the creators and facilitators of that process, which we were not. Time management was a challenge. This was a 6-week project. So we had to work very quickly. We fortunately were able to extend the project so that we could do some of the writing component through an independent study. So that was a huge benefit, but certainly time management, establishing realistic expectations, certainly working with community agencies. We were asking them to turn the survey around pretty quickly. Fortunately, they responded, but that resulted in a lower response rate than we would have liked. Resource limitations. The program itself was a huge resource in terms of providing us with support and an opportunity to do this. But still, that's probably not an option for many people in terms of looking at collaborative research. So what are your options and how do you maximize the available resources is a challenge. Overall, we would say it benefits team members and the larger community. We were bringing things to the table and giving them some concrete data to work with when they hadn't even started thinking really about a 10-year plan. It aids in deconstructing the traditional student and teacher roles. From my perspective and our pedagogical approach, this was really a great opportunity for us, but also to model that in the school and to really have a equal partnership. It assists in skill acquisition, relationship development, and social change, and contributes to the development of shared values and a meaningful understanding of community. I will say, unfortunately, that Saratoga County still does not have a 10-year plan. So this is a way in which we did our part with the limited resources that we had, so we feel like we're able to contribute something, and it's unfortunate that they're still having discussions, so it hasn't totally ended, but there is no 10-year plan in our county. So thank you.